stars, I'm safe.
Hi, God bless all of you at WCNO.
The following program is listener supported through Consider His Word Ministries.
Consider His Word. Consider His Word. Consider His Word.
From the heart of the Florida Everglades, this is the Consider His Word radio program. Today we want to encourage you to consider what God says in His Word, the Bible. I'm Pastor Arlen Payne, inviting you to join us as we open the Scripture together and consider His Word.
Consider His Word.
Welcome to Consider His Word. Today we're continuing our message from Job 32 and 33 entitled A Young Man's Message. And if you'd like to hear all of the messages in this series, you can find them at our website at considerhisword.org. Click on the link that says Radio Programs, and there you'll find all of the programs in this series. Now, while you're at the website, I'd love it if you'd click on the link that says Contact Us. We would love to hear from you. And if you would send us an address and where you're hearing the program today, we'll send you one of our little prayer journals. Now, this is just a little notebook. Fits easily into a shirt pocket or a purse or Bible case or something like that. A place where you can keep track of your prayer lists and prayer requests and then be able to record and write down when God answers those requests. If you'd like to receive one, they're absolutely free, and I promise I'm not going to add you to some email list, or I'm not going to send you tons of letters begging for money. We just don't do that. We'll just simply send you the prayer journal, and you can pray for us, and we appreciate you praying for us so much. And so all you do is write to us. We'll send you the prayer journal. Now make sure you send an address. A couple of weeks ago, I got a request for two prayer journals, and I'd be happy to send them, but they didn't send me an address, so I didn't know where to send them. If that was you, write us back and give us an address, and we'll send you our prayer journals. So you can get them at the website, considerhisword.org. You can email me directly at considerhiswordradio@gmail.com. Again, considerhiswordradio@gmail.com. Now, as many do, you can just simply write to us. The address is Consider His Word Ministries, 30550 Josie Billy Highway, Box 40, in Clewiston, Florida, 33440. Let me give that to you again. Consider His Word Ministries, 30550 Josie Billy Highway, Box 40, Clewiston, Florida, 33440. We look forward to hearing from you. Now, as I was saying, this is a continuation of a message we started a couple of weeks ago. In the book of Job, of course, God had taken everything away from Job because Satan had kind of challenged him. God didn't have to do that, but God was showing Satan that Job was a man of God. And so God took away his livestock, took away his children. And we find Job at the beginning of the book of Job sitting in a pile of ashes, scraping his boils, the Bible says, with a potsherd. Three of his friends showed up, the Bible says, to mourn and comfort him. When they first came, they just sat down with him for 7 days. Didn't say a word, just sat there. And finally, one by one, they began to try to explore and figure out why Job is in this mess. And they keep saying that it was because of Job's sin. And Job keeps saying, I have not sinned. There's no iniquity in me. And then there is a young man that showed up. His name is Elihu. He is not mentioned in the first part of the book of Job. He doesn't appear until chapter 32. And as he sits there, he says, I've been listening to you guys. He said, I thought you guys were supposed to have a lot of wisdom. But he said, you're not making any sense at all. And he said, so here's what God is telling me. And he begins to tell Job, I believe, what God had laid on his heart. In fact, he said very specifically that these things, I believe, he said, came from God. He said, I'm going to tell you the truth from my heart. He said in chapter 33 now, he said, the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty has given me life. If thou canst answer me, set thy words in order before me, stand up. Behold, I am according to thy wish in God's stead. I am also formed out of the clay. He said, I'm speaking for God. Now, we've talked about this a little bit before because he did tell Job straight up, you have sinned. He said, I've heard you've been saying, you know, that I have not sinned. Let's go back to the beginning of Job. And we did a lot of this last week, so I don't want to go over it too much again. But he said, behold, my terror shall not make thee afraid, neither shall my hand be heavy upon thee. Surely thou hast spoken in my hearing, and I have heard the voice of thy words, saying, I am clean, without transgression. I am innocent, neither is there iniquity in me. It sounds like Job was very adamant that he had no sin. And he said, I'm clean, I'm innocent, there's no iniquity in me. He said, Elihu said, I've heard you've been saying these things. And yet it seems that God has attacked me and God has rejected me. And in Elihu, in very direct and very specific language, tells him in verse 12, he said, behold, in this thou art not just. I will answer thee that God is greater than man. Now, certainly we know that is true. God is greater than man. But he said, now God's speaking. And he said, and God speaks once, yet twice. He said, man perceives it not. He said, you just don't get it. You're not listening. You don't understand. In fact, over here where it says perceive it means he's not thinking about it at all. And he goes on and says, you know, God has spoken in so many ways in verse 15. And this is kind of where I left off last week. He said, man, God speaks. Verse 15, he speaks in a dream. Sometimes God does speak through dreams. I believe God can speak to us through dreams. Now, I have to think we have to be very careful about that and make sure it's from God and that make sure it's according to his word. God's not going to speak anything contrary to his word. He said, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men and slumberings upon the bed, he said, sometimes God speaks to us. And he said, then he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction. God speaks his word, and he will give us instruction, tell us what we ought to do. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof, for correction and instruction in righteousness. God will instruct us how to live right and how to live for him. So he said, God sometimes speaks through these dreams and speaks his word and tells us what he wants us to know. But also he went on to say that he also, in verse 19, he said he chastens also with pain upon his bed. Sometimes God speaks through pain, and maybe that's what was going on with Job here, that God was speaking through his pain. Even in sickness, he said in multitude, still in verse 19, he chastens also with pain upon his bed and the multitude of his bones with strong pain, so that his life of horror bread and his soul dainty meat, his flesh consumed away that it cannot be seen, and his bones that were not seen stick out, that sickness. He said, sometimes God may speak through that sickness and even possibly in the potential of death. Yea, his soul draweth near unto the grave and his life to the destroyers. If there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among the thousand, to show unto man his uprightness. He said, in all of these ways, he said, God may speak to us. And maybe God has spoken to you in some of these ways. But why? Why would God speak to us? Now, he's speaking to him his own uprightness, that God is right, that God is true, and every man is a liar, and every man has sinned before God. So We go back now to verse 17, and he tells us why God is speaking. He said he's speaking that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man. He keeps back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. The reason why? To keep man from destroying himself. And how does man do that? I believe people destroy themselves by sin. It's by their own sin. I mean, you know this. Look at the people that you know that have destroyed their lives through alcohol or even through wantonness and through materialism, through drug addiction, through all of these things. Man destroys himself. Proverbs 16:25 says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And in his own, seemingly his own wisdom and his own way, man tends to destroy himself by his own sin. And the reason God is speaking and the word reason God is trying to help is to prevent that. He said to withdraw him from his purpose. You know, we all say, well, you know, you ask people, what is their purpose? And they're going to tell you, oh, I want to be rich, or I want to be famous, or I just want to have fun. But you see, there's a way that seems right to a man. We ought to be finding God's way and God's will and following God's direction. He said then, not only does he trying to keep him from destroying himself, but also to keep him from pride. That's also in verse 17, to hide pride from man. To keep him from his own pride. Really, pride is the basis, I think, for all sin. We think so much of ourselves. We think we know better than God. We think we know what's going to make me happy, regardless of what God says in his word. Read all the verses that said, blessed is the man. And we may do a Bible study on that some other time about how blessed we are and how God has blessed us. And not through things that we have tried to figure out or paths that we have tried to follow. In all of those paths, when we try to follow our own path and we go our own way, we find ourselves in the grips and in the clutches and in the pain and despair of our own sin. You can't blame anybody else. You know, you can't point fingers and say, well, it's his fault or it's her fault because you made that decision. You made that choice to jump headlong into sin. We are so good at blaming other people for what we have done wrong. I remember years ago, a woman had called me a lady. She was not in our church. She was in a nearby church. She may have been afraid to talk to her own pastor. I don't know. But she called me and asked me to come over. Some went over, and her eyes were black. Her face was bruised. Her arms were bruised. Her husband had beaten her up, and he had abused her. Physically abuse her. Now, I advised her the first thing she needs to do is call the police. That's assault. She was so distraught and weeping. And so I counseled with her and I talked to her for a while. And eventually I found, I mean, that same day, later that day, I ran into the husband, the man that had beat her. And I confronted him about it. And his response was, well, it's her fault. She caused it. No, she didn't cause it. It was him. It was his own sin and his own choices. We are drawn away by our own lust. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, brings forth death.
Consider his word. Consider his word. Consider his word.
Thanks for listening today. Like us on Facebook and visit our website at considerhisword.org. This is Pastor Arlen Payne saying, till next time, God bless you as you consider his word.
A song that the angels can't sing. You saved my weary soul from all my sin and pain. And
suffering. The song of the redeemed I once was lost, but you found me. Oh, I have a song that the angels can't sing.